Well, greetings and good evening, everybody, or good day. This is Tabitha, and welcome to another edition of White Wellness. Today, March 16th, 2022, broadcasting out of New York for White Wellness Radio. That song right there was The Doors with Waiting for the Sun, way back in 1968, off of the album by the same title, Waiting for the Sun. I figured it was an appropriate song, considering that we're waiting on the return of the sun, or one of the times in the year when we do. I guess the summer solstice is the real return of the sun, because the winter solstice is the ending or the death of the sun, the Satanama, the eternal reincarnative cycle that nature is. But I would say that the vernal equinox is definitely a return of the sun. It's getting lighter later, or staying lighter later, rather. So that's a good thing. It puts a bit of spring in one step, and all that good stuff, all that lusciousness that is spring. Of course, that'll be happening on 3/20. We've got about 4 days for that. And then on Friday, the 18th, we have a full moon, I believe, in Virgo. Groovy stuff. So, to start out this broadcast, like I usually like to do, the word of the week. Let's shuffle them up and see what we got right here. All right, I'll go with this one. Gander moon. It's a hyphenated one for today. The word gander, like take a gander, hyphen moon. Gander moon. In the 17th to 19th centuries, this was the month of recovery for a woman after she gave birth to a child. A husband who became interested in other women during this period was called a bed swerver or a gander mooner, a term referring to the aimless activities of a gander whilst his mate hatched the eggs. Until recently, gander was also an English slang term for a man who lived apart from his wife. Interesting, very interesting, because typically the phrase is said, take a gander, like look over there, you know, take a look at that, take a gander, but it means something a bit different going back some centuries ago. And now in the modern Zio society, this whole idea of a woman getting that recovery time post-birth in the early postpartum is completely and totally ignored. What do you usually get for a maternity leave here in the ZSA, you know, the ZOG states of America, what, 6 weeks, something like that. Same with what new dads get. I think we have one of the worst maternal and paternal cares for any country. Mexico's got it better, and this is a supposed first world country. They had this thing in China, actually, they call the confinement time, the first 40 days after the baby is born. The mother just hangs out in bed with the baby, and the family, especially the ladies in the family, take care of the new mom, making her all different types of soups and stews and nourishing foods. And well, now we don't have any of that. I think the closest we have to that is maybe some women encapsulating their placenta, or maybe some who are a bit bolder actually eating it raw, which would of course be more nutritious. But yeah, it's so crazy how times change, language changes, and is it for the better? I would argue maybe not so much, but on a high note, in a silver lining type of thing, we are having a lot more people becoming aware of a lot of things in this world, becoming aware, I think, of just the natural ebbs and flows of nature, the savoring of the season, like the title of today's broadcast is. That's one of the ways you can really tune in to your body, is the savoring of the season, and also just getting a hold of more antiquated or antiquarian material, because there's Zio sludge across the board with every subject out there, not to be surprised, right? I mean, look at the whole thing of how back in the day no one was ever doing all this stuff with plastic surgery and injectables, and the pictures of, you know, screen stars back in the day, whether they were transsexual or not, didn't have to be touched up. And now everybody is eating a Zio sludge malnourished diet and pumping their face up and pulling it back with all these things because their body's breaking down, and for some reason they think that eating all this, you know, fart food, this food that just makes you fart and keeps you malnourished, and pumping your face up with injectables is going to make you hot and sexy. when you'd be better off just eating a stewed pig's foot, right? How times change. But we could always kind of go back to those old-timey times and invoke that by living that lifestyle, and savoring the season is one of the ways to do that. I've been savoring the season, trying to get out, take walks, hikes at the beach, at some of the nature preserves, enjoying some of the seasonal food, going to the farm market. Farm market's a great place to mingle with white artisans, to procure foodstuffs from white artisans. I went to a farm market this weekend, actually, and got a couple of nice spice blends. No seed oils, no citric acid, no crusty, you know, sludgy preserve ingredients. So that was pretty groovy. I procured some oysters whilst I was there. I got a little succulent plant. I got a buffalo cheese, actually, not a buffalo mozzarella, which is probably one of the most notable ways that you would see a buffalo cheese, but a hard buffalo cheese. And I also got a sheep cheese. I got a pork and duck pate. So there's a lot of good stuff out there, even though, well, there's a lot of Zio sludge out there. I'm not following any of that Ukraine-Russia thing that's going on. I lost interest in Oyed AI because it just became so tasteless after a while, and I felt like I had spent really so much time just devoted to talking about it and debunking the whole, you know, hollow hoax that allopathic virology is because it's pseudoscientific. It was just kind of like burnout, actually. And I took the last week plus off because I just felt kind of just I needed to recalibrate myself a little bit. And I was doing some of those little short, tiny clips, which you've probably seen if you listen to the broadcast regularly. And that's a lot simpler for me to do, just to take a walk and put on my voice recorder on my mobile and do a clip for 5 to 7 minutes than to do a whole show and carve out the time, pick out the music, get 2 hours of topics going on. So just a little bit of recalibration right there, and savoring of the season and remembering to enjoy life, even though there's a lot of crud going on these days. And has anyone noticed all this color stuff that's been going on, like the uses of these two colors, these supposed Ukrainian colors of the blue and the yellow? I mean, they've been using color in their psyops for hell, a long, long time. Actually, even if you look at some of the Oyed AI psyop information, a lot of the psyop information that had to do with the marketing of vaccination, they were utilizing those colors as well. So this goes back, this whole utilization of colors, gosh, they've been doing it for years. I mean, look at McDonald's, like those golden arches being the color of the communist flag. I mean, it's all over the place, you know, it's everywhere. But I was noticing that they were using these two colors, like I just mentioned, the blue and the yellow. And it's also utilized in that human rights campaign. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. It's a blue, like a royal blue square with an equal sign that's a yellow color. And a couple of years ago, more than a couple of years ago, before the transsexual thing was really like full boom, and before all these people were using these pronouns and referring to themselves as its and theys, before this full-blown craziness, I saw this sticker a lot of places. I saw it like on people's vehicles. I saw it on people's profiles. And it was the beginning of probably a lot of the stuff that we're seeing nowadays. But I put it together that the Ukraine PSYOP colors are the same as this transhumanism and virus PSYOP campaign is. And this symbol claims to be a human rights campaign. Of course, we know that whenever they're talking about human rights, they're talking about getting rid of human rights. Anywho, this thing, the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, is the largest LGBTQ or LGBTPQIAV+, if you're me, advocacy group and political lobbying organization in the United States, or the ZSA, ZOG States of America. Based in Washington, D.C., the organization focuses on protecting and expanding rights for the LGBTQIAV+, which probably means protecting rights for child predators, most notably advocating the same for same-sex marriage and anti-discrimination and hate crime legislations, and HIV/AIDS advocacy. And of course, no one gets HIV. That's like you can't get sick from a virus. Like, I'm not even going to waste any breath going over this anymore. You get AIDS from AZT, which is the medicine they give you when they hoax you into thinking that you got sick from a virus. When people are ill because of what they tell you is HIV, it's really an energy issue from, well, living a very unhealthy lifestyle, which of course would lead to someone not feeling so well. It's not just that poof, a virus makes somebody ill, but in this upside down, topsy-turvy world, people are so disassociated from their bodies and so unwilling to take any responsibility, they'd rather say that a virus got them ill than taking up the butt 200 times. So this organization has a number of legislative initiatives as well as supporting resources for these LGBTQ plus individuals. So this is really not about supporting lesbian, gays, or bis, or queers, or whatever people want to call themselves. The word queer means bizarre, by the way. I don't consider that like a thing people can call themselves. People who identify as those things, a lot of them are not well anyway. Of course, we know that. This is really just a way to promote transhumanism and to promote child abuse. And the same colors are being used for this Ukraine thing. What a wonder. I actually noticed something excruciatingly tasteless whilst I was driving yesterday. I noticed someone's house, their entire like walk, they had like it all lined with these two colors. Like they were going all out, like it's a holiday or something. Like, what is it? What are they decorating for this as opposed to like Easter or Ostara? You know, they're getting like a jump on this. Like, I don't even know what to think of people anymore. And then I saw someone had a sign outside their house that said, "We support Ukraine." It's like when those people had those signs about, "We support BLM." Like, it's just, I saw this meme that it said, "We support," or "I support the current thing." So whatever is out there, people are like, "Oh yeah, I support it. Yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, yeah, I support it. Yeah, why not?" Wow. You know, I mean, when you're like not in these psyops and you look at people who are, can't even imagine, right? It's just, what are you going to talk about? The weather? Even that's probably not even going to be able to be talked about. But anyway, I noticed this. Someone had made an astute comment on the discourse or in the White Wellness discourse the other day. And then I put it together and I was like, what's that symbol? I'm like, I know it. And then I found it by like using, you know, more like a Google friendly language, if you will. I was able to find this symbol and I put it together that those are the colors that are being utilized right now for this whole Ukraine thing, and they were also utilized to promote the vaccination. We can't be surprised. Why would we be surprised? This is always what happens. They use whatever they can whenever they can do it because, well, people fall for it, unfortunately. But yeah, not to dwell too much on all this sludge type of stuff. You know, obviously, enjoy life, love yourself, love your people in your life, but I just had to set the record straight with that thing with the color, because color is strategically has been used throughout time, and this is just a current example that I wanted to share with everybody. We got some people joining us in the chat. We've got Keen Rich, we've got Oof Kukin, kind of an unusual name, and we've got Epiphany. And Epiphany says they'll fight for other countries, not for our own. Yeah, very well said. Of course, they'll support anything, but will they support this country? Will they support, you know, their rights for their own people, their own race in this country? Nope, they're not interested in that. Right? It's crazy. If you told them to support, like, the most heinous thing in the world, if you wrapped it with, like, you know, unicorns and glitter, they would probably go for it. Right? Speaking of glitter, I saw something last week or whenever Ash Wednesday was. I remember, like, as a youngster, seeing people walk around with that thing on themselves, like the ash on their forehead, like, you know, around the area of their ajna chakra. I remember seeing that like years ago, and like I didn't know what that was. Like, I grew up with very like loose religion, so I had no clue what that was. And I remember as a child thinking, why is everyone's forehead dirty today? Like, that was a thought that went through my head. But I saw something the other day. I didn't actually see it in real life. I don't think I would see it around where I'm at, but now, to promote the idea that the church is aligned with, you know, the LGBTQIAV+, they now are doing glitter ash for Ash Wednesday. I think a lot of people in that community, quote, community, refer to themselves as like glitter moms. And these are full-grown men who have like a fetish like otogynephilia, which of course is when a very sick man wants to become a woman and engage in being degraded, which is insane that they've built an entire, quote, community around a fetish. But that's how a lot of these things work. I mean, in a way, you could say they've done it with everything. I mean, look, they've built an entire lifestyle around malnutrition and mental illness. It's called veganism, right? So yeah, just a lot of wild stuff in the world, and a lot of good stuff in the world too. Epiphany is saying, first time I saw the dirt in the forehead, it was about 10 years ago. I had no idea what it was. Yeah, me too. Like, see? It's just like, what is that? I'm like, why is everyone dirty today? Like, what's the reason why? But yeah, now they're doing glitter, believe it or not. Yeah, wild stuff, you know, wild world, wild stuff. But just because these things are happening doesn't mean that we have to engage in it. We can just kind of sit back, relax, enjoy ourselves, do commentary on it, whatever works for us. So before I get into the main topic of the show or the main topics, a lot of the stuff I'm going to be mentioning today is just going to be health stuff, kind of like a health overview. I found some interesting information just about just health in general, you know, and I think it's a really important topic. Of course, health is a lot of different things, but this show is going to be more about nutrition and stuff like that, and just a lot of news coming out in the health milieu. But first, I wanted to mention something. Maybe some of you who look at the comment section on the Podbean might have seen this. There's this handle on the Podbean, and I've been kind of wondering for a little while, like, if this is a sock account or if this is someone pretending to maybe be someone from the past. And you know how these things happen sometimes and how people will use sock accounts and such. So there's been this commenter on the White Wellness Podbean who goes by kind of an unsavory name, KikeSlayer88, with a picture of, looks like a Slayer symbol right there. So I've had my thoughts or suspicions, rather, for quite some time that this was Mike Sledge of the American National Radio Network. And the person who was behind this handle had asked some, you know, basic questions in the past about fluoride and bottled water and estrogen and things like that. And I typically answered them back on the show, or I would answer them back on the Podbean comment section. But there was a comment that was made a couple of years ago. That would be completely not make any sense. Rewind a second. It was made a couple of days ago. And now after seeing this little comment, I'm certain that this is Mike. And he goes on to say, honestly, this is about White Wellness. Why am I still listening to this show? Everything you say and all the info you get is stuff I can get on my own. And this feels like a lame circle jerk. You were better when you were with Mike Sledge. Sorry, Tabitha, you have lost me. Best wishes. So I know the way he types, so I know it's him. I knew it was him because he mentioned me by name, he put onus on himself, and he used the word circle jerk and you have lost me. And if I had the time or desire, and I'd rather be doing pranayama and cooking and doing other stuff, I could have made a compilation of all the coffee shows, which I still have saved on my computer, where he said circle jerk and you lost me. But I'm not going to waste my time doing that. It's just not worth it. I have a feeling that this is him just has sunk into the low of using a sock account and has now decided to criticize the show. So I just wanted to put that out there in case other people were like, who's this person referring to, you know, listening to the show as a circle jerk? I mean, if you don't find this show appetizing or interesting, you don't have to listen to it. It's not a requirement to listen to the show. It's completely and totally your choice if you want to listen to it. If you don't, that's okay too. Either which way, you know, or maybe you want to listen to half of it now and half of it another day. That's totally okay. It's your prerogative. But to use a sock account is, I would say that's a lame circle jerk if I was going to use that phrase. So I just wanted to, I guess, announce that and let everybody know that that's what I thought that, that's what I thought that was. And that's that. Yeah. Well, oh well. Keen Rich is saying Sledge flashbacks again, or a fashback, right? Yeah, I don't know. Well, anyway, I just figured I would mention that to other people, not to really to dwell on it, but I assumed it was him doing that based on the language. At least if you're going to use a sock account, use language that doesn't sound like yourself, right? I mean, that's what I would do. Not that I do that because I don't really have time for sock accounts, and it's not my desire to do that. But if I was doing that, I would at least change my language.
Epiphany is saying, I hope he finds his way again someday.
Yeah, so do I. I have nothing against him. Not at all. I'm not angry at him. I'm not upset with him. I'm not like holding on to like angry energy or anything like that. Nothing like that whatsoever. I wish him well, you know? So yeah, going on with some more information, now getting to kind of like the meat of the broadcast. Oh, this is actually kind of humorous. I get some of these natural or quote natural publications in the mail, or I get them when I go to like some of these like, you know, quote health stores, which really aren't health food stores, but they had this thing for this lecture that I think is happening somewhere Saturday, like in the city, in, you know, New York City, Manhattan, which I haven't ventured to be near in quite some time, ever since the OUDAI PSYOP, because of, well, the obvious reasons. I don't even know what it's like, to be quite honest, but I saw this advert for this thing called The Evolution of Humanity, Stepping into Our Divinity. And it's all about the evolution and the physical changes occurring over time and the unfolding and the evolution of consciousness and humanity being guided by spiritual kingdoms and all of this stuff, which sounds a little on the new agey style of stuff anyway. But the best part is you read this whole thing, and I wouldn't go to this anyway because it probably would just be a bunch of people who were completely deracinated and, like Keen Rich is saying, you know, more BIPOCs crap, probably boosting up, you know, BIPOCs, boogaloos, ingrates and pieces of crap, that type of stuff. But the best part is at the end of this thing, it says, mask and proof of vaccine required. So all of this stuff about stepping into divinity, the evolution of humanity, and at the bottom, you've got to wear the costume and you've got to have the vaccination, or at least proof of it. That really sounds like the evolution of humanity, or the evolution that they want for humanity, right? Yeah, exactly. Jew age bullshit, Keen Rich. So much of that stuff. And all that is an inversion of our original ways. And I think oftentimes a lot of our people fall for that stuff because it's appetizing on some level, because they resonate with that stuff on a soul level, but it's really our stuff, right? I think it's the same way, reason that people will fall for the XDNity stuff, because they're appetized by a lot of it. It touches them, you know, like touches their soul, but it's wrapped, you know, it's wrapped up to look really good. But of course, there's a lot of stuff in there that's very not good and can be very spiritual deactivating or spiritually suicidal. But they have to use these little bits and pieces to hook us in, right? It's just like how the stuff of ahimsa, which is typically one of the tenets of vegetarianism or veganism, do no harm. They say, oh yeah, don't harm animals, don't eat them. What about not doing harm to ourselves by not starving ourselves, right? So a lot of these things, the tenet or the premise is good, but then it gets twisted and flipped and it gets totally fucked up. That was just a really ridiculous thing about the evolution of humanity. Okay, now moving on to some of the health topics for today's broadcast. So let me see, what do I want to share? Let's see, is this interesting or not? A little bit about, this really isn't too interesting. This is just about all the effects of the quote pandemic, right? Trauma affects the body, mind, and spirit. I think we know that from the Transitioning Our Trauma show that I did last week or so, or whatever that was, 2 weeks ago. But yeah, that can definitely do that. I mean, just living the last couple of months or years has been, we've all been through it, right? Like I've said in many shows, we've all been through it, but have to keep on going, right? Keep on keeping on. Oh, and thanks, Epiphany. I saw you sent me a gift. That's kind of you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so here is the important stuff that I wanted to talk about. This is in regards to GMOs, and they're doing a softening of the lingo on the language. What used to be known as genetically modified organisms or GMOs is now going to be labeled as BE, bioengineered, which is soft language. As part of a process beginning in 2018, the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, labeling rules for food products, altered at the genetic level, was finalized and implemented on January 1 to uphold the integrity of labeling claims and increase marketplace transparency. Bioengineered food is defined as containing detectable genetic material modified by in vitro recombinant deoxyribonucleic acid techniques that could not have been modified through conventional breeding or found in nature. These crops include alfalfa, apples, canola, corn, cotton, eggplant, papaya, pineapple, potato, salmon, soybean, squash, and sugar beets, and will be updated annually. The rule also applies to food products regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act. And I was at BJ's Wholesale Club about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, and I saw a bag of that candy product called Turtles. Maybe some of you are familiar with it. It's like caramel and chocolate with like pecans, and it said on the label, this product has been made with bioengineered ingredients. So it's already on there, but the label, the language is just soft. Ooh, bioengineered. That sounds really slick, right? Really scientific, as opposed to genetically modified organisms. Epiphany is saying, I have seen labels with made with biologically engineered ingredients on it. So you've seen it too. Yep. It's coming. It's here. I've also seen it on marshmallows too. There's this brand of marshmallows I saw it on, and typically it's not necessarily right near the ingredients. It could be like a little off to the side. So when you read a label, you really have to read the entirety of like the package. Food labels must disclose that the food is bioengineered or contains a bioengineered food ingredient. Exemptions include small food manufacturers with annual sales of less than 2.5 million, food served in restaurants, delicatessens, food trucks, trains and airplanes, and products that contain an unavoidable or accidental presence of a bioengineered substance, up to 5% per each ingredient in the final product. Activist groups agree that extensive consumer education is required to avoid confusion. So if you're getting stuff from just a small little delicatessen or a food truck, you may not know if something is bioengineered or not, and they may have to disclose it to you if it is. So kind of a bummer the way that works. I guess the best thing to do is just to buy your food from a trusted source and make it yourself. And who even knows if all this food is being bioengineered and it's being made in vitro? Are they putting something into this bioengineered food that's going to act like this Oyed AI vaccination that's really going to mess with our body and make it hard for us after we consume these, especially ongoing, to basically do a detox? We're not going to be able to do a detox, because my theory with this Oyed AI vaccination and why people are developing cancer and organ failure and all that type of stuff is that their body is not going to be able to manufacture a detox. So they're going to have like all this built up gunk, and then they're going to get sick because they're not going to be able to like exude all that crap that's built up. So as always, it's very important to know where your food is coming from, more so than ever. Okay, here is something too. This is a mind zoggler, the next one. I think I actually had alluded to this maybe on a broadcast a while back, but this is a mind zoggler. And of course it starts out by saying, spiritual awakening. People of faith find deep connection to the environment. So what are they utilizing or using? They're using the Abrahamic and the Abrahamicized faiths to exploit people who believe in the climate change hoax. Most of the world's organized religious sects contain a doctrine of reverence for preserving the environment. Abrahamic religions view humans as stewards that have a unique responsibility to care for our planet. Other faiths like Buddhism, Hinduism, and many indigenous traditions believe that while people need to take care of the planet, they are just one part of the larger ecosystem. The creation stories in Genesis call upon humans to be caretakers of creation and tenders of the garden. Nona Siegel, triple parentheses, grew up in Montana, where she became aware of several mining projects. She notes that one of Judaism's core beliefs is that the land belongs to the divine and cities and cities, the Jewish ideal of sites, the Jewish ideal of tikkun olam. Of course, we know that's not a good thing. This is their version of healing the world and world peace through their version of what they consider to be social justice. It's not helpful for anybody, which means healing the world. Tempe, Arizona Community Christian Church pastor Doug Bland, wearing a cardboard box painted brown, invites people to confess their ecological sins in a ritual he calls eco-fessionals. Some participants say they fly too much on airplanes. Others say they don't appreciate the environment enough. Others say they don't appreciate the environment enough. He is the executive director for the Arizona Interfaith Power and Light, an organization that works to bring a spiritual response to the climate crises, and about 100 congregations of churches, mosques, and synagogues. It's one of the 40 chapters nationwide calling for faith leaders and communities to get involved. So just like with Oyed AI, where we had all these religious institutions trying to get people to get the vaccination, wear the mask, have it be the new rosary, essentially. Now we have the Abrahamic and the Abrahamicized faiths like Buddhism and Hinduism doing the same thing with eco-fessionals. Like imagine someone going into an eco-fessional and saying, I ate a piece of red meat. It wasn't just a Friday, but I also had the red meat. Like, how bad is this going to get? You know, I used a plastic bag once back in 1987. Like, how? What are people going to be confessing? So they want people to feel guilty for everything down to essentially just breathing, right? Down to respirating, they want you to feel guilty for, right? And it's crazy because how are these people who are doing all these things with the eco-fessionals, maybe they're these like these big time like pastors who fly on these like private jets anyway, but they want you to feel guilty and you to feel bad when, well, they're probably the ones who are seriously polluting the environment. And of course, I'm sure many of us know, like, we don't have to live in this. The world doesn't have to be this polluted sump that it's becoming. You know, there's ways to have that regenerative thing going on, like regenerative agriculture, you know, like doing permaculture type of gardening. Like, the way that they do stuff on large scale is the reason why we're in this shit stead as it is, because they've abused the earth and now they want us to pay for it. That's pretty much what it is. Epiphany is saying, I ran a bunch of 5Ks, sorry for the excess oxygen use. Yeah, it's crazy. Imagine this guy though, this like this pastor wearing the cardboard box painted brown and getting people to confess ecological sins as a ritual he calls eco-fessionals. I mean, that's some wild stuff. But, you know, guilt runs the world, right? I mean, they get people to have guilt and fear as opposed to being in a high vibration. Like, those are really, really low vibrations to be in, guilt and fear. And then, of course, that causes stress. People are more likely to eat shit, to feel sick, to run for stimulants and sedatives, right? It's a terrible pattern. Terrible stuff. Just a bunch of hoaxing. Okay, moving onward with some more stories. So I've been covering, I guess, since I started the broadcast about 3 years ago, I've been covering the whole tranny meat thing, the whole thing about plant-based foods going mainstream. And of course, this isn't really about vegetables or fruits. This is about these fake foods going mainstream. And probably many of you in the food store, you've noticed this. I've noticed this, that when you go to like the dairy section, they're all nut milks. All the yogurt is made from nuts, right? I'm sure you guys have noticed this, right? And it's all mixed in. Back in the day, there used to be the quote healthy section with like the soy milk and the almond milk, and maybe the organic milk was there, you know, and some of the organic milk was stocked like with the regular milk. But now it's all mixed together. Like, you go to some of these stores and it looks like 80% of the milk isn't even milk, right? Or the yogurt too. And people think these things are healthier. They're willing to spend more money for them. They're not healthier, unfortunately. So here, this article says, plant-based foods go mainstream. Healthier eating, or quote, healthier eating gets easier with innovations. And of course, this is not how we're designed to eat. I've done so many shows on this in the past, but it's important to kind of focus right now on really what's happening with this whole market. And it's going to change what you see in the store, especially ever since Oyed AI, they were doing that thing when they were doing all those manufactured food shortages. And they were telling people, oh, you can't get regular meat or there's a shortage of meat, so you're gonna have to eat this like meat or this burger that's like half mushroom or half tranny meat. It's a slow thing. It's gonna be going on. It has been going on, but it's gonna keep on going on. And you've probably noticed this too in the store, where they have like the Beyond and the Impossible quote meat right next to the regular like burger meat, right? And they usually say, oh, this is cheaper, it's heart healthy. And sadly, many people are still under the impression that cholesterol is bad, saturated fat is bad, red meat is bad, you know, eat chicken, you know, and chicken's okay. But when it comes to it for bang for the buck in regards to nutrition, you can get so much more nutrition out of a piece of ruminant meat, like say beef, bison, lamb, mutton, whatever you like. You can get so much more nutrition from that than chicken. So it says here that whether vegetarian, vegan, or flexitarian, almost 40% of Americans are shifting to a plant-based diet. And that was a figure going back to 2018, 4 years ago. So it's probably even more people going to it. And the main reasons people are going towards it is reduced risk for some cancers. Consumers now rank health of the planet as number one concern. So of course they're going to use the manufactured climate crisis, probably going to use the eco-fessional thing to basically get people to not eat meat. I could see these eco-fessionals or these people or these pastors who are, you know, teaming up to do all this crazy stuff to basically team up with like PETA or one of these, you know, crazy environmental, you know, anti-meat groups. People are also turning to a plant-based diet to overtake personal health. These have been the top reasons, they're saying. And it goes on to say that, you know, we're not talking about people eating like more oranges, you know, and more dandelion greens. No, this is not what this means. This means people eating oat yogurt, seafood alternative. This is the weirdest thing I've seen. I've never tried this before. Like in my earlier years, like when I was in my late teens and 20s, when this whole movement was really in its infancy, like 2+ decades ago, I had tried a lot of this stuff. Like I ate this stuff called smart bacon. Like I ate this stuff called phony bologna, fake and bacon. So like I had all these for years. I ate this shit before I actually even ate the real food. And then when I finally ate the real version, I was like, oh my God, this tastes nothing like the real thing. Yes, Epiphany, tofu pops. I remember like for years bringing a pack of tofu pops to like every barbecue that I went to and my own like whole wheat buns and stuff. Now I don't even eat the bun. But now if I was going to eat a hot dog, I would just get a good grass-fed beef hot dog with some good mustard. And I like to have them with caraway seeds like sprinkled on top. I'm a hound for caraway seeds, probably because I'm Hungarian. But yeah, those tofu pups taste nothing like a hot dog. I never knew what people meant when they said that a hot dog has snap until I had a real hot dog. Like that snappiness that a hot dog has, tofu pups don't have any of that going on at all. And they taste nothing like a hot dog tastes. So people are not, like I said, eating more fruits and veg. They're eating oat yogurt, which is not yogurt. If you want oats, have a bowl of oatmeal, right? They're eating seafood alternatives, which I've seen these in the store. They look super weird. Like they have this stuff called, is it called Vuna? Like this vegan tuna made with pea protein and all these. Yeah, oh, we're going to get to that in a second, actually. Like calamari or squid. Like that's not even really squid. I mean, if you want squid, eat squid. It's a great source of B vitamins and protein. Vegan honey. Who even knows what vegan honey is? It's probably just sugar water that people are paying like twice as much of the money for. You're getting none of the enzymes and minerals that you'd actually get in honey. So this is what people are eating. It's not more fruits and veg. They're eating this Zio sludge stuff. And they go on to say, we believe that today's investors want a more resource-efficient, climate-friendly, and cruelty-free food and materials supply system and want to invest their dollars in the same. Of course, this is a hoax. Cruelty-free to who? What about us? Isn't it cruel for us to eat stuff? It isn't good for us? That's cruelty, right? And as Keen Rich is saying, Jew filth food, no thanks. Yeah, food in quotes or triple parentheses. Yeah, I mean, come on, just eat real food. It's not so hard. You find out what foods work for you when you eat real food. It's simple. I mean, it's a little complex getting started, but it doesn't have to be intensely intense. You can just not eat stuff that's not food, right? So yeah, this stuff called Vuna it's Nestle is making it. So yeah, obviously we can't trust it, like Nestle Quick and all that crazy stuff. They make this thing called Vuna, which is a pretty unfortunate sounding name. It's an alternative to tuna made with pea protein, which is completely indigestible, denatured, not a source of protein. Wheat gluten, which of course is allergenic to many people. Rape seed oil, what a lovely name right there. That's the real name for canola oil, or what I like to call canola oil. Salt and a flavor blend. Of course, we know that means natural flavors. So that probably has kidney or renal cells from late-term abortions. Very, very horrific, right? And somehow, in some weird way, this is supposed to be healthier than eating tuna fish. And of course, tuna fish is something that maybe you don't want to eat every day. I mean, they tend to be a little high in mercury, tuna, right? Just like swordfish. And some might argue that the lipid profile of these fattier fish is not the best lipid profile for humans. These are what they call the HUFAs, the highly unsaturated fats, which are very much like the PUFAs, the polyunsaturated fats. And if we want to have the healthiest body, we're better off eating more of the saturated fats. But still, even with all that said, I would take a can of even Bumblebee tuna, which is, you know, just the regular brand, over this Vuna, which sounds really, really horrific. Very, very horrific. And they're also using stuff like jackfruit and yam root to make like fish sticks and fish fingers and all this type of stuff, and vegan fish stock, potato milk. This is the new thing too. I didn't know potatoes had tits. I guess they do. But potato milk is the new thing apparently. And Epiphany is right. Real food doesn't have ingredient labels. Yeah. Ingredients, orange, ingredients, steak, ingredients. Maybe if it's cheese, it says, you know, milk, rennet, salt. And when you're looking for cheese, you're better off having a cheese that has rennet, which is typically from veal. Veal rennet, which is what like sets the cheese, then enzymes, because that's actually like a healthier, more old school way of making cheese. The enzyme cheeses were actually, I think, introduced when they wanted to like kind of market to more of like the kosher populace, or the people who were doing like lacto or lacto ovo or pescatarian style of diets. But really, in the real way of things, cheese is not a vegetarian food because it has veal rennet in it. And if you get your cheese from a farm, you will see it says rennet. And even if you get the good or better cheeses in the store, it'll probably still say enzymes. And of course, when you get your cheese from a farm, it's raw. And dairy really is best raw. So yeah, they're really promoting, they've already promoted the trans meat. And by meat, I mean like the beef and a little bit with the chicken. You know, KFC was in that game for a while too. So now they're really promoting the dairy alternatives, or tranny dairy and tranny seafood. That's their new little pet project that they're doing, tranny dairy and tranny seafood. They're also using mushrooms in ways that really shouldn't be used. Like, you want to have mushrooms in a stir fry or a side dish on the top of a burger, you know, whatever you like. But they're using mushrooms now to make them basically pass for animal meat. And is the texture sometimes the same as meat? Yes, but the nutrition is just not there. And for some people, they can be a little challenging to digest. So it's not a substitute. There's no substitute for the real thing. That's just the way it works. They're also trying to offer people vegan coaching and delivery made easy, because they want people to stick to this sludge diet by doing this type of stuff. So hey, we'll see what works on that. But there's a lot of places popping up now offering like meal delivery services and all of this stuff, where people are assuming they're getting, quote, protein from legumes, tofu, and nuts. Those are not really sources of protein. It's not the most bioavailable protein either. Plus, you have to factor in the anti-nutrients and all of that. And I think it's tastier to have, like, let's say scallops compared to, like, you know, legumes for protein, right? So yeah, that's some of the new news, the new plant-based news that's going on. And a little bit more, according to the WHO, the WAC Hebrew Oligarchs, or the World Health Organization, 6%, they're saying that people can exist healthfully on less than 6% of protein in their diets. Okay, we know that's a hoax. That's probably the amount of protein that you need just to basically stay alive and not like pass out and die. So they're saying, oh, people can exist healthily on less than 6% protein in their diets. I doubt that's true. Just like with the RDA, when they make the RDA standards of, you know, the recommended daily allowance of whatever mineral or whatever else it is, that was based on what was necessary for the prison populace. It wasn't for people to thrive. Oftentimes when Dr. Weston A. Price was doing a lot of his work and visiting these, you know, rural folk and these tribal people, he was noticing that they were getting like 10 times the amount of what the RDA is. So this thing about people surviving healthfully on less than 6% of protein in their diets, this is obviously a hoax. That's like the bare minimum to keep people alive. Don't fall for that. Crazier stuff too, people using a banana peel to like make mock meat, to make pulled pork with a banana peel. Man, that's pretty desperate. Hey, we live in a world where people think banana peels are pulled pork and that men are, you know, men can become women, but it doesn't work like that. Yeah, so crazy stuff, crazy, crazy stuff. And now on the bright side, a little bit about the farm market. The farm market is kind of like the antithesis of all of this. And like I was saying earlier in the show, it's a good place to mingle with whites, to buy stuff from white artisans. It's got a lot going on, the whole idea of the farm market. So buying local boosts health, it boosts the economy, and it boosts the planet. And there you can actually get, you know, real fruit and real vegetables. You can get seafood, meat, cheese. Maybe they'll have like some small scale products. Maybe someone's making banana bread or cookies or juice or something like that. So I read this cool figure when I was looking through this article, and it says, according to a study commissioned by the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, 72% of customers know, quote, nothing or very little about farming and ranching. Farmers markets facilitate ongoing dialogues between growers and consumers, serving as valuable educational sites. So we see this whole advent of this, quote, plant-based movement of people eating all this stuff. They're totally, I imagine the average person who's eating these, you know, this Vuna or whatever it is totally and completely deracinated. Probably believes in the whole Ukraine thing, the whole Oyed AI thing, the whole everything. And they know nothing or very little about farming or ranching. So when people don't have any of their roots intact, they will literally fall for anything. And we see it every single day. And then these people are so stressed and devitalized, they'll lash out at you when you just, you know, tell them something is the truth. I mean, I don't really spend a lot of time these days interacting with these types because it's not really worth the energy. You know, the more you move through life, you have to kind of just say no to certain things, right? Because it just takes a toll on you, right? Like spending time around people who are, you know, stuck in the abyss of addiction or stuck in the abyss of, you know, lib shittery or whatever it may be. Like, yeah, it's sad that they're in that stead, but how does it affect you, right? Maybe you got to think about yourself first and be able to say no, right? That's a huge thing there, being able to do that. Just when we talked about that trauma show, we talked about awakening to reality. Oftentimes when you say no to these lost souls, you're just awakening to reality, right? It's kind of the way I like to think of it. And of course, you know, saying no to someone is like, you know, like a crazed person is saying yes to yourself, right? And that's a good thing, to be able to say yes to yourself. Oftentimes we don't say yes to ourselves. And I think the more racial we become and the more kind of rootsy we become, because there are plenty of people who are aware of the world's foremost problem, who are, you know, thinking in a, let's say, a pro-white way, but are they really rootsy, right? Maybe they're just spending all their time getting pissed drunk and gaming. Like, how better is that than someone who's a lipshit, right? How much better is really isn't, right? Those people aren't really gonna make any change. Just some things I've been thinking about, you know, as I'm talking about this and talking about the farm market and how that's antithetical to, you know, this whole Zio sludge culture of the plant-based food. So yeah, really just finding ways to get rootsy with ourselves, our communities. I think that's really important. I really do. And I saw something the other day, whilst I was on Telegram. I think it was this, let's see if I can find it. It was this this summit. I get all these emails for these quote summits. I really don't join or go to a lot of these too much, but I saw one the other day, and it had some really good like talking points and stuff. It was about regenerative agriculture, soil health, cryptocurrency, German new medicine, hydroglyphs, which I'm not even sure what that is, unschooling slash homeschooling, and the truth about virology. And this is actually something, it's actually happening live in California on Saturday, Fillmore, California, just north of LA. A couple of people there, I think Dr. Melissa Sell, who's into German new medicine. I don't really know many of the other people who are involved in this, but see, those are the kind of things we should really be focusing on whilst we savor the season, you know, focusing on how to really take care of ourselves, you know, grow stuff, engage in animal husbandry, think about, you know, new ways to put our money in certain places. Learning German new medicine is really fascinating stuff. Could be a good idea to even scoop up a German new medicine book, because who knows if they're going to be available forever. If you have the money, it's a good option to get books now on subject matter, because who knows how long these books are going to last, you know, with the way things are going. I mean, I've seen in the last couple of years, books completely just go poof and they're no longer able to be procured, or the price becomes ridiculously exorbitant, like $300 or $600, and no one can afford that. So yeah, I think we'll take a tiny little break right now with a song, and I will be back with a little bit more info. You are listening to Savoring the Season. I am your host, Tabitha, and we will be right back. My heart's alive.
Second one is prison, baby. Sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spare my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, and one in Cherokee. First one says she got my child, but then told her I'm pregnant. I said I'm running, but I took my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight.
All right, we are back. That was The Grateful Dead with Friend of the Devil way back in 1970. And Epiphany is right, you cannot save everyone. Sometimes when you first get involved with this, like I did, I felt this kind of like altruistic urge to save every white soul in the world, even the ones that whiz around Walmart in the scooter and eat the double-stuffed Oreos. But you can't save everyone. You just can't. You've got to always take care of yourself first, right? And if people want to take care of themselves, they'll do that. If they want to listen to the wisdom of some other humans, they'll do that. But that's what it really comes down to, because if your whole time is being spent trying to save everybody else, like, what about yourself, right? So something else I found, just to kind of close out this nutritional part of the broadcast, they're talking about now there's something called a pediatric eating disorder, beyond picky eating, help for the pediatric eating disorder. So now they're saying that children under 12 can be afflicted with anorexia, bulimia, or other conditions that typically you see in, you know, older children, you know, young adults. But this is crazy. Now, 5-year-olds can be having an eating disorder. I would say that antisocial media is possibly to blame for this. Maybe the parents having, you know, food obsessions, and maybe problems in the house going on where the child just wants to kind of, you know, control something that they can do. And oftentimes the food is what happens with that. Just hard to believe. Pediatric eating disorders. What a why. Maybe because of all this marketing of things like Vuna is why there's a rise of pediatric eating disorders, right? Maybe if we lived in a normal society where people ate normal food, there wouldn't be all of this, you know, and just the sadness that we have in society, right? But yeah, the consequences of childhood eating disorder could be permanently stunted growth, impaired, they're saying, quote, immunity, really just impaired, you know, lymph function, hypoglycemia, delayed puberty. Crazy that things have gotten so much just degraded, right? We're seeing issues that we typically see, you know, older children or young adults or even older adults occurring. We're seeing it happen to just, you know, youngsters. Wild. And of course, they're probably just going to see some Zio, you know, psychologist to help them, when really maybe it's because they're not eating the right food. Maybe there's some major problems going on in the house. Maybe the child's being abused. But nope, take them to Dr. Z. And this may be a way to actually just put children on more medicines. Who knows, right? I just couldn't believe I saw that when I was reading this, quote, health magazine. There's nothing healthy about these health magazines. I actually got an issue of actual health magazine the other day. I got like a free subscription because I had some flight miles saved up, and I wasn't about to go on a flight with all the crud that was going on with Weird AI. And I got this health magazine. Well, I got the recent issue of, I guess, about a week ago. And, you know, typically in the past, I was used to seeing, typically it was a woman, and a white woman on the cover of Health magazine. This month, it was a black man pretending to be a white woman. I kid you not. It was that actor, Laverne Cox, that man, that black man who was on that Orange is the New Black, that prison show. The man is a transsexual, but he was on the cover of that magazine wearing red lipstick and a dress and a blonde wig. A really wild world when a black man is passing himself off as a white woman. You know, maybe that's the reason collectively why there would be a pediatric eating disorder, right? It's all links together, you know, transsexualism, Vuna, all this stuff. It all links together. But we really should be savoring the season. It's easy to get bogged down with this stuff, but it is what it is, right? This stuff is always going to exist. Or hell, I hope that's not true. Maybe it's always going to exist in their world, but we can kind of pull back from that world as, you know, as we navigate. And I think as time goes on, you have to put limits on yourself as to what you could actually look at regarding this stuff, because, you know, it takes a toll to look at this stuff. It's way too much certain times to just keep on taking in this information. You know, who wants to? Is it of any benefit to keep on taking it in? No, I think we're already well informed for the most part, many of us. So it's just like the stuff I had talked about before. I think it's important to know this exists, especially the stuff with the bioengineering and the food. I think that's really important. But, you know, really the most important thing is keeping healthy and securing your own food supplies, however you're able to do that. And of course, to become racial and to not fall into the lib shit abyss. I mean, those are really the only choices we have, right? It's either we go back to what's real and rootsy, or we fall into that Zio sludge lib shit abyss, which I'm sure if you're listening, you've probably seen many of people fall into that. Maybe you've seen a lot of people just fall into the Oyed AI abyss. Like, I know people who are kind of permanently changed from the whole PSYOP, whether they believed in it or not, to a degree, just the trauma of the fear of it has forever changed them. It's unfortunate. Seems like now they're kind of leaning off of the whole Oyed AI thing. And, oh, actually, I did hear about this this new variant they were talking about called, what was it, Deltacron? Or it was a blending of Delta and Omicron. People, I saw the headline on like Joogle like midweek, and I was like, oh my god, they're still doing this? Like, people literally believe this is like a thing? Wow. Well, apparently they're still doing it. And apparently people are still, you know, eating up that shit soup called Oyed AI. So, oh well. So now, flipping the topic to something a little more appetizing, I found this very interesting article that was about Tesla, actually. So I just wanted to talk about this, Tesla's predictions for the 21st century. Some of them he was really spot on with, and some of them, not so much. But I think it was interesting to hear what he had to say moving forward in the future. And of course, I'm talking about Nikola Tesla, the Serbian inventor, who I see some people saying now, like in the truther community, either A, he never existed, or B, he was a transsexual. I don't necessarily think this is true, but I'm seeing people actually like take this picture of, like, I think he took an x-ray or a picture of his hand, and they're showing this picture off to show that his digit ratio is off and he was actually a transsexual, or some say he actually never existed in the first place. I haven't gone that far off the deep end to believe something like that. I do believe he actually existed and was like a real person. I don't think he was a transsexual. He doesn't look like a transsexual from his pictures. He looks like a man. He has a brow bone and, you know, pretty prominent jaw. So to me, it looks like a guy. He's Serbian, like I said, which is now modern day Croatia. He was born back July 10, 1856, and he died at age 86, January 7, 1943 in New York City. So yeah, he was an inventor, an electrical engineer, a mechanical engineer, and a futurist, best known for his contribution to the design of the modern alternating current AC electrical supply system. And what I was going to say prior is I'm not talking about the Tesla car and all of that stuff with Elon Musk or Lone Scum. I think that is a transsexual oive, actually. But no, I'm not talking about him at all. I don't even consider him Tesla. I just consider him someone who stole the Tesla name and is profiting off of it. I'm talking about the actual Nikola Tesla. So I found this interesting article about some of the predictions he made for this century. And of course, he died quite some time ago. He died like 80 years ago or so. But it'll be interesting to see some of the things that he said. Keen Rich is saying Oyedian psychosis. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around these days. A lot of it. And people are, it's just like the holo hoax. People are like, oh, so-and-so got it. So-and-so died. So-and-so gave it to so-and-so. And so-and-so got it from them. And then them. And then them. And then them. And it just cements the story. You can see how something like germ theory just cements the story, right? Even though it's a hoax, since it involves everybody, it just cements the story. And of course, we know it's a hoax, but... And it's almost like, how do you tell people, like, wait, that person got sick. What do you mean they didn't get sick? What do they mean they didn't die? Well, yeah, they did, but it's not the reason that you think it is. So anywho, a little bit about Nikola Tesla's predictions for the 21st century, the rise of smartphones and wireless, and the demise of coffee and more. So here is a little bit about this. And he was rivals with Thomas Edison, actually. So here is a bit about this, and this comes from a magazine interview from 1935 in a magazine, a now defunct Liberty magazine, that Tesla was basically interviewed for this magazine and gave this interview. It was a lengthy essay, and it was told to the interviewer, George Sylvester Viverek, who the article here likes to mention that this man who gave the interview to Tesla was not only, he was a poet, but he was a Nazi sympathizer who interviewed Hitler. Oh my God, right? So of course they want to paint the picture that, because of course they made Tesla look like he was insane, like they do with everybody, you know? So of course they want to create this, this loop to Hitler, right? Tesla himself makes the final pronouncement. It seems that I have always been ahead of my time. He then goes on to enumerate some of the ways that he had been proven right and confidently lists the characteristics of the future as he sees it. No one likes a know-it-all, but Tesla refused to compromise or ingratiate himself, though he suffered for it professionally. And I remember hearing that he was really keen on giving people free energy. And then J.P. Morgan, who was an Oy Vey, said, you can't put a meter on that. Like, Tesla just wanted to give everyone free energy. So he suffered for it because he was not willing to compromise himself. And from what I've also heard, he was an Rh negative individual. I believe he was E negative, like me. And he was right in many of his cases of his thoughts and his prophecies, even though he did not give, you know, he did not compromise or give in to any of these sludge institutions or people. Of course, they want to mention that some of his predictions seem outlandish or criminal. Ooh, right? Tesla's predictions include the following, which he introduces with the disclaimer that forecasting is perilous. No man can look very far into the future. And here are some of the things that he believed would occur. Buddhism and Christianity will be the religion of the human race in the 21st century. And I don't think this is that far off, to be quite honest, because Christianity comes from Buddhism, right? I mean, the rosary is the Japa Mala, and Buddhism comes from Hinduism, which comes from Vedicism, which is Sanatana Dharma, which is the original path of the Aryan. But when you flip all that around, you get this turn the other cheek, universalism, quote, anti-racism, all of this veneration for things that aren't really rooted in nature or racial. It's completely just, you know, everyone's equal, you know, intermarry and relate with anybody. Life is suffering is one of the Buddhist creeds, right? So yeah, I think that is the religion of the human race. If you look at the whole Oyedei PSYOP, it has a lot of Buddhist and Christianity undertones to it. So I don't think he was that far off when he was saying that those two religions will be the religion of the human race in the 21st century. And some people have actually alluded to that Baha'i faith really being the religion of the 21st century, which is a blending of all of these faiths together, which it's all just this universalist soup. It's not an indigenous or racial religion. I typically don't use that word indigenous because they like to utilize that word when they're speaking about everyone but whites, right? And of course, we're indigenous. We've been indigenous to many places in the world. But when you hear that word, it's always used to mean, oh, not a colonizer, not a white person, an indigenous person. So I think his first prediction is rather spot on. His second one, the year 2100, you will see eugenics universally established. No one who is not a desirable parent should be permitted to produce progeny. A century from now, it will no more occur to a normal person to mate with a person eugenically unfit than to marry a habitual criminal. Well, unfortunately, he was off with this one. We have a dysgenics program or pogrom going on. Of course, places like Use for Hell have a eugenics program going on. Of course, eugenics just means good birth or well birth, like EU, euphoria, right? The EU means good or well. That's the root of that means. Unfortunately, that word has been really dragged through the mud and completely inverted and perverted and made to think that it was meaning something different, how people who were completely and totally asleep at the wheel will use phrases like that Bill Gates is a eugenicist. Nothing could be further from the truth. Not only is he or she or they or it or them a dysgenic entity or specimen, whatever he's into is a breed of dysgenics. Anyone who promotes vaccination is a dysgenicist. End of story, period. I wish Tesla had been correct in this assessment and we were living in a world where people were eugenically fit. But unfortunately, for the most part, it doesn't seem to look like that, at least when I walk outside the house and go to the store or go other places. But could this be turned around? Yeah, it could, but it takes a lot of time, a lot of time. I mean, we're not chickens, you know, we're not flies. It takes a lot of time to really turn the tide with these things and, you know, reverse some of this damage. And especially now with the advent of all this, you know, this zio-sludge fake food that we talked about earlier, all the fake tranny food and the bioengineered food on top of it, and, you know, all the eco-fessionals. I mean, we're really going in the opposite of eugenic fitness on a whole. And if you want to read more about the eugenics movement, I suggest checking out the article over on the White Wellness website that I wrote about the history of eugenics. It's a very interesting article, actually. And Keen Rich is saying BIPOC, transhumanism. I mean, yeah, all this stuff is just, it's really just hard to believe that this type of stuff goes on, at least to me, that there's so much dysgeny. I mean, the world could be so eugenic, right? I mean, things could be so racially hygienic for everybody, for all races, right? As opposed to twisting everything around, inverting it, pumping up the lowest among the low and getting them to do, you know, the dirty work of the Skeksis. Things could really be good if things were good, but we can all just try to be as eugenic as we are and try to instill those values, you know, as life goes on. The third thing he had on his list, hygiene. Physical culture will be recognized branches of education and government. The Secretary of Hygiene or Physical Culture will be far more important in the cabinet of the President of the United States who holds office in the year 2025 than the Secretary of War. Along with personal hygiene, Tesla included, quote, pollution as a social ill in need of regulation. Sadly, I think there's more pollution and more Zog fog than he could have ever imagined, especially, you know, 100 years in the future or so, or 90 years when this was written, 1935 to 2022. So yeah, around that time. And it's kind of funny that he talks about the Secretary of Hygiene, because for the last two or so years, we've had this insane false hygiene of Oyed AI, where the word sanitary or sanitize comes from the word sane. I covered this on a broadcast a while ago. So you would think that someone who kept good hygiene was sane, but now that's clearly not the case. We've seen people spraying their whole bodies with Lysol. You know, I still see people to this day wearing the mask. I saw a guy the other day at Home Depot wearing the mask and the gloves. So no longer is hygiene associated with being sane. Crazy as it is, it's been a total inversion. Interesting how the first thing has panned out with the Buddhism and Christianity being the religion of the 21st century. And then the eugenics thing got flipped to dysgenia, and the hygiene got completely flipped into like this insane culture of false hygiene. So we've had like one true thing and like two absolute flips. Number four, I am convinced that within a century, coffee, tea, and tobacco will no longer be in vogue. Alcohol, however, will still be utilized. It is not a stimulant, but a veritable elixir of life. And I believe he himself was a fan of wine and milk. He loved milk, but he did not use caffeine or tobacco. Again, I think he's incorrect on this one. I think all of these elixirs are possibly more popular than ever before. People drinking alcohol, a lot of that has gone up since Oyed AI. I've heard from a lot of people personally that they've been drinking a lot of booze. Tobacco, maybe that's gotten down because of all the villainization and you can't really smoke anymore anywhere. But I think people are still drinking tons of coffee and tea. I mean, it's very much social elixirs, as is alcohol. Those are the social elixirs of this country. I mean, I think the stats on people who don't drink caffeine are lower than the stats on people who don't drink alcohol. So even people who don't drink alcohol, they do caffeine. Most people do both, but if you're, you know, not doing any alcohol, let's say you're recovering from using it for years at a too much of an amount, then maybe you'll do coffee or tea. But it's rare to meet someone who doesn't do any of those things at all. So again, he was incorrect on this one. It seems like people are using this more than ever, and now we have people even using more. This was kind of like, these were kind of mild things to use. Now we have people using all these pills, SSRIs, you know, benzos, the whole pill culture, whether people are getting them from a pharmacy or buying them in someone's car outside the pharmacy. We have the whole cannabis conundrum with the cannabis plant being made into all of these, like, you know, little elixirs and stuff like that. A lot of the youngsters are hooked on these kind of like these potent concentrates of cannabis. Like, no one's actually even smoking a joint anymore. So it's really, they've really done the same thing they've done with cannabis that they've done with, I would say, like the coca leaf, you know, like what the people chew the coca leaf in some parts of South America. No one ever gets addicted to it, and they make it into cocaine. It becomes a problem. And I think that's why we're seeing a lot of these youngsters who are like doing the dabs and the vaping, and they're becoming really, you know, very, very much addicted to it. So yeah, unfortunately, he was incorrect about that. It would be nice to see less of that utilization of stimulants and sedatives, and at least not every single day, right? I mean, just to take a break from that is good for the body. Another one, there will be enough wheat and wheat products to feed the entire world, including the teeming millions of China and India. Tesla did not foresee the anti-gluten mania of the 21st century. Well, I would say that wheat is probably less popular than it used to be, but there is a bit of a renaissance going on with people wanting to get more artisanal types of wheat, like einkorn and kamut and stuff like that. But I think in general, it's probably down, the wheat eating. Maybe people who just eat like more of like the ZWO diet eat a lot of it, because it's very much part of the ZWO diet, I would say. I mean, to me, the ZWO diet is hybridized wheat, A1 pasteurized dairy, sugar, coffee, that's zeaxanthin oils, CAFO meat, and fortified wheat, like fortified with iron filings. That's the Zio diet. Coffee, white sugar, pasteurized, hybridized cow dairy, battery farmed or CAFO muscle meat, zeaxanthin oils, and Franken fortified wheat with iron filings. So keep in mind, of course, the wheat of 1935 was not as hybridized as the Franken wheat that we have now. Now we have all this GMO or bioengineering occurring. So it's a very different food. And I'm sure they have enough resource to make wheat to feed the entire world, but it's really not a good crop anymore. It's really been bastardized and hybridized. And notice how we have less of a eugenic society and more of a dysgenic society and more of a society that's completely insane with this like false hygiene. Yet we also have these foods like wheat, which are also totally hybridized and dysgenic. So the dysgenia of the people and the insanity of the hygiene and the utilization of stimulants and sedatives goes hand in hand with this devitalized and perverted Frankenwheat. And then we have this universalist Buddhism, Christianity religion of just turning the other cheek. Like, it all works together in like a symbiotic sense of really just ultimate dysgenia. And then another prediction that Tesla made was, long before the next century dawns, systematic reforestation and the scientific management of natural resources will have made an end to all of the devastating droughts and forest fires and floods. The universal utilization of water power and its long-distance transmission will supply every household with cheaper power. Along with this optimistic prediction, Tesla foresaw that the struggle for existence being lessened, there should be development along ideal rather than material lines. And sadly, I think he was incorrect with this one as well. We're facing more of this. We're facing more droughts, more fires, more floods, more of this going on because the earth is being raped, right? Earth is being raped every single day. So unfortunately, we're seeing more of that. And what do they like to do? They like to blame humans for it and tell us to eat sludge like Vuna and fake seafood and oat yogurt because we're the problem. We have to go into the eco-confessional. We have to turn the other cheek. We're the reason that all these things are happening, from droughts to forest fires to floods to Oyin AI. We're the reason for it, right? And of course, we know that's not true. We could be living in a world that was healthy, but the Skeksis are intent on Tikkun Olam, their version of healing the world, which is basically just making it into a dumpster fire for all the terrestrial races. Very unfortunate. So those were some of his main predictions right there. So I think we can really only say that he was right on the religion thing. He was wrong on eugenics, sadly. He was wrong on hygiene, sadly. He was wrong on people getting away with, away from using stimulants. Maybe he was right with the whole thing about enough wheat to feed the entire world, but maybe he couldn't have foresaw the anti-gluten mania nor the hybridization. And he was wrong about the reforestation. Of course, there is some of that happening, but I feel that the deforestation is outweighing the reforestation, sadly. And then also there's some other stuff they go into in this article that, let's see, he talks about something else that was pretty interesting. Tesla saw changing gender or sex relations as the precursor of a coming matriarchy. This was not a development he characterized on positive terms. For Tesla, feminism would, quote, end in a new sex order with the female as superior. Tesla's misgivings about feminism has made him a hero in the so-called men's right movement, they're saying. Whilst he fully granted that women could and would match and surpass men in every field, he warned that the acquisition of new fields of endeavor by women, their gradual usurpation of leadership, will dull and finally dissipate feminine sensibilities, will choke the maternal instinct so that marriage and motherhood may become abhorrent, and human civilization draws closer and closer to the perfect civilization of the bee. I mean, so in a way, when they talk about, maybe you've heard that phrase before, the future is female, that's not to help women or go back to the old ways of a matriarchal society, which was not a society dominated by women, nor was it misandric, meaning anti-male, like misogyny is anti-female, misandry is anti-male. It wasn't like that. Matriarchal society is a tribal style society. It's the antithesis of a patriarchal society, which is a top-down hierarchy, which is dominator culture, whether a man or a woman is in control. Just typically, the example is a man in control. These men's right movements, of course, we know those are Jewish reactions to the feminist movement, which was also made by the Skeksis. That's for the birds, essentially. But yeah, this whole thing about the future is female, that's not to promote the veneration of women or matriarchal societies. That's to promote a dominator-style society
where women are in dominator roles and not basically indulging, or not really indulging, just let's say cultivating their feminine sensibilities. And also, that whole slogan is to venerate transsexuals. It's to venerate men who have fetishes to wanting to be women because they're misogynists and they want to obsess about being oppressed and getting raped and going through all of these horrible things, experiences that women go through, and sometimes men as well. That whole slogan is to promote transsexualism. Just like that whole thing with the BLM thing, it was all about, like, first it was all about, you know, blacks, then it was about black trannies. It was about black transsexual men. That's what BLM essentially was about. So any of these slogans that you see out there, it's a flip. It's never what we think it's about. It's an inversion, because everything runs on an inversion, because this is a gaslit culture. And I will be doing a show about matriarchal societies versus patriarchal societies. I mentioned this on the White Wellness Telegram, I think earlier this week. So stay tuned for that at some point in the near future. Oh, there's something here about Hitler, too, that was pretty good. I forget where that was in the article that they were. Oh, this is very interesting, too, what he says about he foresaw the smartphone and the wireless technology. He said this in 1926, or like essentially 100 years ago. When wireless is perfectly applied, the whole Earth will be converted into a huge brain, which in fact it is. We shall be able to communicate with one another instantly, irrespective of distance. Not only this, but through television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face, despite intervening distances of thousands of miles, and the instruments through which we shall be able to do this will be amazingly simple compared to our present telephone. A man will be able to carry one in his vest pocket. And of course, I would not advise carrying a mobile device in your vest pocket or on your hip, or some ladies actually stuff it like on top of their chest where their bra is. Gosh, that's got to be bad. And they wonder why they get a cancer or something like that. But as you can see, he was right about certain things, and he had wishful thinking in regards to many, many other things. Unfortunately, they didn't really seem to pan out. I wish the stuff about eugenics would come to fruition. I wish the stuff about reforesting the world would come to fruition, that people would utilize less stimulants and sedatives, that there would actually be a real hygiene culture, a racial hygiene culture. None of this fake sludge of hand sanitizer and this type of stuff. And that we really did away with these universalist religions, which I know for a lot of people, it's very hard to move away from these things. They can see through all the other stuff, but they're not willing to get away from these religions, because they're attracted, I think, on a soul level to some of these things that were inserted into those religions that are to appetize us. Like I think in the case, I was saying earlier in the show, in the case with Christianity and even some of the stuff in the New Age movement, it speaks to them because it contains elements of our original path. They just don't realize that the rest of it is a garbled up, you know, Talmudo salad, essentially. So that was the end of that article about Hitler. Sorry, not Hitler. About Tesla and his predictions. I'm just seeing, I just saw the word Hitler as I was scrolling up, and like my mouth just wanted to say Hitler. But that was a bit about Tesla right there and his predictions for the 21st century. Let's see, we've got some comments going on. Epiphany is saying, people don't understand the difference between GMO and crossbreeding of plants. Yeah, they really don't. People don't also don't understand the difference between GMO and glyphosate. GMO is the organism being modified. Glyphosate is the plant being sprayed. So it's a bit different, but people don't get that. Another thing people don't get is that they see that sticker that says USDA, and they think, oh, this is grown in the U.S., but no, it's certified organic in the U.S. Those carrots could have been grown in Turkey or China or Guatemala or something like that. OG is saying, damn, I missed it. Oh, good to see you. Here you are. Hello. He just saw his phone for the live cast. And Tulian is saying, at White Wellness, hi. Hello. How are you? And he said, OG is saying, hopefully I'll know the schedule, day and time I can make for shows from now on. I'm not really doing too much of like a scheduled day. But I, like I said, I'll email you or I'll put the notification out when it happens. I've actually been thinking about maybe doing like a later show, like later in the day, now that we have, you know, this weather being nicer and stuff like that, so I can spend more time working on the endeavors. I've been working on a lot of personal projects as of late. I felt like super busy the last couple of weeks. Just that's why I've been doing the little clips here and there. But today I figured I would do just, you know, a regular broadcast. And I am going to kind of keep them a little on the shorter side. I think it's easier and more digestible for people to listen to something a little bit shorter than to say, oh my God, 2 hours, I can't commit to this. But I went over what I thought I was going to talk today anyway. It's already like an hour and 30-ish, but I guess I hadn't done a show in a little bit of time. So I just wanted to go through that health information and then talk about Tesla. But I think I'm going to wrap it up here because I'm getting munchy. I want to go downstairs and I want to eat an egg and an orange. So speaking of real food, an egg and an orange, right? An organic orange and a local pastured egg. Real food, two ingredients. No Zio sludge, just regular wholesome food. So that is the end of this broadcast, Savoring the Season. I'm your host, Tabitha. Be sure to catch all the broadcasts over here at White Wellness Radio. And be sure to check out the Telegram channels, the White Wellness Channel, White Wellness Cooking, Racial Science, White Wellness Wisdoms, Vedic Sex, Fertility, and Yoga, as well as the White Wellness website. So everyone have a wonderful day, evening, afternoon, wherever you are in this big white world. And I will be connecting with everyone again on the next broadcast. Satnam.